Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's time to take command.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. I'm Grant Paulson, and along with my co-host, 10-year NFL tight end Logan Paulson, we break down the plays and schemes and give you in-depth analysis, honest evaluations, and the context you need to truly understand the game. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen to and follow Take Command wherever you get your pod.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Intense song right there. The Ace of Spades. I'm trying to think. I saw some crazy... Oh, dude, I think it was... Did you ever watch Severance on Apple TV?
Oh, you asked me that question.
I don't watch much TV,
dog.
Severance is a slow burn, but once you get into it, it's
What's
really
it about?
Good. I could tell you, but you're not going to watch it. Okay. You want me to tell you?
Just I want to know what it's about.
These people live in this, like, I don't know, dystopian area.
Let's go to Ben Standard.
And this dude's brain gets cut in half.
Let's go to Ben Standard.
And he goes to work.
Let's go to Ben. Ben is more important than Severance.
Joining us now is our friend Mr. Ben Standig. You can check out his work on the Ben Standig Substack. Benny boy, what's up, dude? Did you watch Severance?
I did. I don't know. It was interesting for sure, and some of it was really good. I'm not sure I'm all in for the next season, but the premise was interesting.
It was definitely interesting. Did you like my explanation of it to B-Mitch?
I didn't quite hear it.
Don't worry.
No. Yeah. We can pass that, Ben.
Let's talk about far more relevant.
I've lost too many brain cells already.
Far more relevant matters. Washington stands pat, makes no moves at the trade deadline. Just your reaction to them having a quiet day yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think prior to the Seattle game, you know, it was a debate, you know, winner, even if they had lost the game, you could be like, well, you know, they shouldn't necessarily be sellers because, you know, there's still, you know, a lot of the players here were part of the team from a year ago, and, you know, they've had a lot of injuries, and maybe, you know, they think, all right, we can turn this thing around. But then, of course, with Jaden getting hurt and a third consecutive loss by over 20 points, you know, that, in my opinion, should have altered their view. That said, there was only so much they had to work with. It, you know, it was just the some of their 1 year guys like an Andrew Wiley, somebody like that. And if you look at the trade that were made over the last, you know, 24-36 hours, it wasn't a lot of like trade a player in a seventh for a sixth. It was the bigger name. So maybe there just wasn't a market for some of that stuff, or they just decided, you know what, none of this is worth it. We need to, you know, the best thing we can do is get back on track the rest of the season, whether make the playoffs or not, and you know, get ourselves into a better rhythm, and keeping the guys we want to have is helpful for that. So let's not worry. I'm okay with it, but I would have liked to have seen something get done, because even the most minimal of moves to help your draft capital for next year, I think, would be helpful.
But the thing of it is, what if they had people and they have this is the price to get rid of this guy? Somebody come in and want to go much lower than that. You want them to just make the move just to make it?
Well, I mean, look, I'm a believer that if you can increase your, you know, your draft capital, even if it's something minimal, turning a seventh into a sixth, I think it's worth it. I mean, look, like, just to use Andrew Wiley as an example, because that was the one guy when I talked to people around the league that seemed to be interesting, because he's a versatile offensive lineman, and every single team needs offensive line depth.
Sure.
They, you know, for the rest of this season, I'm not saying it couldn't use them, but, you know, on the bench, you've got Brandon Coleman, Trent Scott, George Fant, Nick Allegretti. Like, that should be plenty if something were to happen. But like I said, moving up from a seventh to a sixth, you never know what happens. You take a, you get enough of these random picks, you package them together, and now all of a sudden three of these things become a fourth, or you acquire somebody else or whatever. So I would have done some of it if it was just that. But if they were looking for more than, say, the sixth, you know, if they're looking for a fourth or two fifths or something, well, then sure, I get why, you know, nobody wanted that, and maybe they were just being overly aggressive in that regard. So I don't know what the ultimate conversations were like. I would love to know if Adam Peters wants to dish. But, yeah, I would have, to some degree, I would have traded a lot of guys just for even a minimal of bump. I would have.
I think the most important thing yesterday is what they didn't do, honestly. And, like, Washington could have been in on Sauce Gardner. You know what I mean? Their secondary is getting killed. They're, like, they could have... They could have made a move to chase this season and been aggressive, and I almost wonder in the more modern era of the trade deadline, like if Bruce and Dan were still running the show, if they would have done something like that.
Yeah.
And to me, it's...
Make you excited for nothing.
Yeah, like to me, the most important thing is they didn't do anything stupid. Now, would you have liked to acquire some late-round draft capital? Because that's probably all you would have gotten. We're probably talking, you know, picks... 250 and beyond or whatever, sure, but like for me, I've come in with a moderate level of disappointment. Like I really don't think it's a big deal, and the most important thing is they didn't do anything dumb.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, Dallas at 3-5-1 made a pretty bold move, right, to get
right.
Quinnen Williams, and obviously he's a good player, but you know, what are the chances that Dallas is going to be a player this season? Seems slim. I mean, you know, we'll see. They obviously have the offensive weaponry to get hot, but the defense hasn't been able to stop anybody, and I don't know that Quinnen Williams is changing that. So they traded a deal to give up a first and a second for a half of a year of him, and then whatever else happens. That's a lot for where they are right now. So, to me, it wouldn't have made sense for Washington to go all in on some sort of a Sauce Gardner-type trade, even though obviously he's very good. But this is why they're in so bit of a limbo. On the one hand, you know, they're still trying to upgrade the roster depth and the overall talent, but they've already traded away, you know, picks to get that done. And so that's the thing is, like, next year they only have two picks in the first four rounds. And I get that, like, you know, saying you're adding a very late round pick or upgrading there is not going to change the stat I just said. That's all they can do on some level. You do what you can and move it forward incrementally, whatever it may be. But yeah, ultimately, sure, it would. You know, who knows what would have happened in the olden days? But I'm glad. Yes, if we were worried about them doing something overly aggressive like that and misreading the room, that would have been a problem.
Yeah, I just, like, man, when I look at trade stuff, and I've always loved it in basketball because one player makes a hell of a difference. And we can look at it in this deal here. If we had tried to get somebody, will it make a difference this year? And cool, it might not make a difference next year, to be honest with you. But if you were to try to trade away some of your pieces to get out of stuff, we've already seen you're going to probably end up with fifth, sixth round, seventh round pick, and probably not even a fifth, sixth and seventh round type stuff. And where has it really bolstered this team? Everybody think, well, you get a guy, you shine for a little bit. Where has it really boasted this team in the last 20 years?
Yeah, I mean, they're in an interesting spot, man. And
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's time to take command.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. I'm Grant Paulson, and along with my co-host, 10-year NFL tight end Logan Paulson, we break down the plays and schemes and give you in-depth analysis, honest evaluations, and the context you need to truly understand the game. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen to and follow Take Command wherever you get your pod.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
And I think the trade deadline, like, I don't know what Dallas is doing. Quinnen Williams helps them, and you do have him for 2 years. I do think yesterday's movement or lack of movement asked some questions about what's on Washington's roster. But, like, a lot of that die has been cast. I think at this point, 10 games in, 10 weeks in, there's real questions about how they handled that this offseason. Yeah. But they still, at the same time, have 8 games to play, right? Ben, what do you think? Detroit coming to town. Everybody knows what happened last year in the divisional round. Now Detroit just lost at home to the Vikings. Like, looking to the actual football game on the field this week, what do you see? Mariota at quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, the way I've come down the last 2 games, starting going into the Chiefs game and then certainly this last game, was that, you know, I think we can kind of dispense with, hey, they need to find a way to improve the run game, or hey, they got to stop allowing big plays on defense. Not that those things aren't important, but they are at a stage right now where for them to win, the other team needs to be bad. And Washington may have some influence on that, but not necessarily. Like the Kansas City game, right? The Chiefs have turnovers in their first 2 drives, and one of them was a really nice play by Marshawn Lattimore. The other one was the tip ball off of Kelce. But either way, the Chiefs were moving the ball. It's not like they forced a punt or anything. They just, you know, were fortunate to get those turnovers. Seattle had none of that. And so, you know, if the other team comes out hot, I don't think they have a chance right now, which is, you know, and I was saying that last week before Jaden got hurt, unfortunately. They're just in a tough spot in defense. They're not worried about their offense making plays down the field. And defensively, I think the defensive end injuries have just cratered what was potentially working for this defense, because they've had to move a lot of guys around. So not to be like the total bummer, but unless Detroit comes out and for whatever the reason, you know, like last year in the playoffs, right, they committed, what, 5 turnovers. If they do something along those lines, then sure, if Washington takes advantage of it, they can be successful. Other than that, boy, I just don't see what they're going to do to get this to work. If you're putting it on Mariota's shoulders, I mean, that's not great. And it's not like we can sit here and say the defense is going to buck up and slow them down. So if you're looking for a win, I think you just have to hope that Detroit is not firing on all cylinders, as they say, more than that Washington is going to have some massive improvement, because I don't know that that's coming anytime soon.
Yeah, I just think, I think the defense gets all the blame, but the offense has not been what it was last year, too, where they had the long drives. They got some touchdowns. They took time off the clock. This year hadn't been that way. So just them doing it, being a little better, may help the defense out a little bit. I don't know.
You know what's crazy is that, like, we talk about this offense that, you know, kind of like it's a carryover from last year, largely because Jaden Daniels is here and Cliff Kingsbury stayed. Their top receivers from last year, and a couple of them were because of injuries, none of them are going to play this week. Like, mm-hmm. Every single one of their top receivers from last year is either on another team or hurt, and their top 2 running backs from last year are also hurt or not here. Now, I'm not saying that they were necessarily wrong to let any of those people go, but there's no carryover almost from last year to this year. Jaden is, you know, especially with Terry being in and out of the lineup, he's been working with completely new players. And, you know, a lot of what went on last year, you know, again, nobody was sitting there thinking that beyond Terry McLaurin they had, you know, Ricky Sanders and Gary Clark, but they had players who were effective in specific roles that they took advantage of. You know, Diami down the field, Zacchaeus's versatility, Noah Brown, you know, can make him some plays in the air, and they found ways to maximize those strengths. The problem I had with the receiver room this year is, you know, they just didn't have the depth. This, to me, had no specific strengths to it, and then when you needed them, which was quickly, they just didn't offer anything that you could, you know, really work with, or at least they didn't find a way to work with it, and then that just took the whole operation down because the other defenses are just like, yeah, we're just going to stack the line, take away the run, clog the short passing lanes where maybe Zach Ertz wants to be, and force you to throw the ball down the field, and we don't think you're going to do it successfully. So, the receiver room is just, the fact that almost all the skilled players from last year are gone or hurt is, pretty wild.
One word answer, Benny. Do we see Jaden again this year on the field?
No. No.
Okay. There you have it.
I don't know that. I'm just throwing
sure.
it out there.
None of us know. None of us know, but it's an interesting situation because they didn't put him on IR. They got two games and a bye week. It's an interesting thing. Everybody check out the Last Man Standing Substack and podcast. Thanks for the time, Benny.
All right, Ben.
Always, man. Thanks, guys.
All right, that's our boy Ben Standig, BCC alum. Go Barons. Give him a follow at Ben Standig. Joining us via the Rude Guest Hotline. Nobody go anywhere. Neil Greenberg joins us at 11.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. FanDuel is putting you in control right from the NBA tip-off because every day to start the season, you get to choose your reward. Take a shot with a profit boost, play it cool with a no-sweat bet, or get a little backup with a bet-back token. You hear me all the time when we do our little heard it here first. I'm always trying to get the big parlay. I don't like to go for the simple. I want the little money to get a big payday. So make your pick, get in the game, and play it your way. Head to FanDuel.com/Brian to make your choice. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official sportsbook of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years old and present in Virginia. Opt-in required. Rewards are non-withdrawable. Restrictions apply, including bonus and token expiration, leg requirements, and max wager amount. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday, wherever you get your pods.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.